This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Regretsville. I'm Jesse Jollis.
And I'm Tracy Sorin. Together we're Sorin and Jollis. And we got regrets coming at you hot.
You might be walking down the street.
I need her to do it.
With a paper napkin.
Yeah.
And a pudding cup.
Ooh.
And no spoon.
Ooh, yeah.
And you decide, I'm going to use the napkin as a spoon. And then you swallow some napkin.
Yeah.
And
it's a mistake.
Your stomach hurts. And that's a regret.
Yeah. And I thought you were going to go barbecue rib this time.
Interesting.
Because I was like, napkin, barbecue rib. And then I was like, You can still use that and you swallow it. When you're eating ribs, you can swallow a napkin for sure. You know what I'm saying? Because you're like, everything gets stuck and then you're touching
if
your
I'm
hands.
Eating and there's a napkin nearby, yeah, it could
I'm
be in my
it.
Mouth. I mean,
eating
I,
it.
I don't hold, I have no prejudice when it comes to food.
No.
I'll eat a napkin.
It was
if
a
I'm
tree.
Hungry.
Yeah. Right?
It was
a paper
tree.
Napkin from
so
a tree.
So what? Who cares? And today, we are not alone.
No, we are not.
No. We are so, there she is. We are so lucky we are with Claire Burns. Mm. She's a comedian, actor, and host. She is a co-host of No Such Thing as Love, the first Thursday of every month
Jesse's
at QED.
Jesse's the other co-host,
right.
Okay, so well, I can
true.
Say that. I can say
what
it.
What a show it is. You can also see her do sketch on Boogie Manja at The Pit, and later this fall, you can see her on the Travel Channel hosting a show called Vintage America.
She's going to have a show, guys.
Oh, yeah, baby.
We got the celeb before the show hits. You know
I
what
mean,
I'm saying?
That's the thing. You knew me when, right?
Your schedule is going to
I wish.
Popping bottles with Bourdain. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. And just jet setting.
Besties.
Oh, man. Claire.
Yes, darling.
Are you aware? I know you're a travel connoisseur.
Oh,
here,
of course.
But are you aware how we do it here at Regretsville? Oh. We do a regret of the week to start.
A regret of the week.
We do a regret
yes.
of the week to
so
start.
So, Jesse, would you like to top us off here?
I shall. And top us makes me think of top us. my regret comes from a little din-din that I went to, and at said din-din, I ordered. I was with three other people, and we had ordered our meals, and their meals came, and I waited patiently.
Yep.
And the waitress came back, and she said, "I'm so sorry. I forget what had happened, but like your salad is, it was a salad, but whatever, it's steak in it. I'm not sure." She was like, "It's coming." I'm like, "No bigs." Cause like I'm chill.
Yes.
Very
but
relaxed.
Then, like, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes later when everyone was finished eating.
Cause that would get cold. Their food would
yes.
get cold.
Yeah. And I'm like, "Please eat." I also was like, it couldn't be a 30 minute wait.
No.
For a
well,
salad.
We're always waiting for the arrival. Right.
Oh,
so you
yes.
don't know.
Right. She brings me my salad, which I'm very livid at this point. I am almost to the point where we're like done and I'm like, "What? Now I'm eating." Like,
everyone's waiting and watching you eat. That's
yeah,
pleasant. That's some weird fetish.
That's so awkward.
It's a fetish. It's a fetish for someone.
It
for
is.
Somebody, it's a fetish.
And my brother was at that table. So you want to
no,
keep a fetish
on.
And a brother
yes,
far away.
110%.
So anywho, I'm like eating my salad. I'm like, whatever. And then the check comes and I am astonished to see my salad on said bill, because there was no like apology
right.
token. There was no like
my mistake,
or like here's a drink, or like
yes.
dessert
right.
on
you're
dessert,
offering
like,
something. If you're not going
something.
To remove
we'll
it,
we'll never
from
go
the bill.
There again.
Although I thought it was going to be removed completely.
Well,
I mean,
no, it should have. It should have been.
So then, when it wasn't removed, I was livid. Now my brother was at the table. My brother is a You've listened if you've
listened to episode 4.
Like
you'll
I
hear
said,
exactly what
you know,
he what to him.
He wouldn't
about.
Hurt a fly, but yeah. he wouldn't save one either. And so he's
that's
like,
a callback.
"Oh, please don't make a like, don't make a thing." Like, you know. So then I can't because
it was a good impression of your brother.
Yeah, yeah. No, please don't.
That's exactly how Danny sounds.
So I'm like, ugh. So I didn't get to, and I was really, I'm like,
you're still ticked
that's
off.
That's not cool.
You're still
no.
pissed.
Because let me just say, like a $17 salad.
No. Yeah. It, yeah, this yeah, wasn't a $2.99 pick from Duane Reade.
No. Even $9.95.
Yes. Not even.
This is, we're double digits.
Which
this
is sure. entree price.
Yes.
Entree price.
And I'm sure if you went to a Chopped and got a $9.99, you get half, you know, 10 times more salad.
Oh.
So this is also
honestly,
bullshit.
Yes.
That's you what, were paying yeah. for the experience.
To eat with my
which
friends.
Was crap.
Exactly. Yeah. And which I didn't get to do. I got to watch my friends eat, and then they got to watch
said,
me.
He's like, you could have said, I'll meet you later, and ate on a bench alone.
Right.
And then
truly.
Got the same experience.
Crazy. So my regret is I didn't really tell her how
I think
felt.
Also a deep regret. Listen, you listen to your brother, man.
Yeah. I should have just been
it.
Like, hey, Danny,
that's the regret.
Go to the bathroom, okay? And mommy's going to take
yeah,
care of this.
Exactly.
Mommy's got it.
I know. I think I always had to do things like that for my brother, too. He'd be like, they spelled my name wrong, but it's fine. I'm like, Danny,
yeah.
no.
It causes a complex a little bit when you're the younger. I was the younger sister, and my sister's like, I can't call the Chinese food. And I was like, I'll do it. I'm 8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
no, you have to
it.
Step it up.
Step it up.
Someone has to step it up here.
And then the younger siblings are like, I guess it's me then,
I know.
You wimp.
Because I did the same thing.
Yes, because they were coddled by the
yes.
parents, the new babies, and then we come in hot. No one gives a shit.
Like,
and then
whatever.
Like, whatever.
We'll speak our minds.
Right. Yeah. So we learn the lessons the hard way.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're sort of
make a fool out of ourselves.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
it's
it.
It's okay.
Oh, well, that's it. You know, don't go back there. And,
I
and write a Yelp review is
no.
what I say.
I probably should.
Yeah. Indeed.
I
a
know.
Yelp.
In the world of
stick
Yelp,
it to
how
them.
Could you be, you know, fucking up? Come on.
I mean, people
true.
Are watching all the time, ready
yes.
to type a review.
Because it's not the problem that they made a mistake. It's that they didn't rectify the mistake.
Exactly. Mistakes happen.
Yes.
It's
how
you happen. Deal with
it's
mistakes.
The
yes.
It's the rectifying.
And don't
yes.
they say that? It's how people get back up. It's
yeah.
Not,
yep.
Of course you're going to fail. It's how you get back
up. Who cares?
Up.
No, you're not going to be like, oh my God, where's my salad? You know?
No.
Right.
Oh guys.
Well, okay.
An exasperated sigh.
I know. It's like, jeez.
Oh, no.
Tracy?
So my regret of the week, I'm sorry to do something. We've talked about picking before, but this is very different.
Okay.
So I know you guys, so I can be, this is comfortable.
Yes.
You know.
I feel very comfortable and safe.
So I have, and Jesse has seen this, but I have very thick, like nipple hairs. Not going to lie. I'm very open and honest about it.
I didn't.
See that coming?
Expect that.
No.
No, go ahead.
Thank you. I don't know what happened. It's like I'm a 90-year-old woman, but
okay,
when I was younger, I would tweeze them, and I think it made
yes.
it, whatever, I think it made it worse,
to be
honest.
Does that hurt a lot?
Yes, I was. I'm very, my biggest thing was I when I was younger, and now I guess. But when I was
yeah.
younger and especially single, I was very concerned about my body hair. Thick,
yeah,
dark.
Because women aren't
chewy
supposed
body
to
hair.
Have
yes.
body hair.
Yes,
or even body.
Or even bodies. Just wipe us away. We're ghosts. So you know, I shaved my stomach and it's really thick. My whatever. So my nipple
yep.
hair is thick, and I would get ingrown hairs from tweezing them. So my dermatologist was like, "You cannot tweeze them. This is bad. So cut them." Like, just trim them. So
trim.
That's what I do now, even though, like, sometimes I really let them go. Because mama don't care.
You can't.
This
yeah,
is
can.
Bad because they were growing in thicker?
They were, well, no,
or?
they I would cut them because this is bad because I would get ingrown hairs when I would tweeze them.
Right.
So I'd have to pop the hairs out of my nipple.
Oh, Lord.
My big titty nipples. All right.
Here's the thing. I love that.
Yes, you love yeah. that. Oh, yeah. I'm no hold.
I love a popping.
You know, this is the thing. When you have
a large breast
and you're
yes.
sort of like shifting it up
yes.
to like and there's
folding
a moment
it.
Where you're looking in the mirror
and, you're like,
and your
this
breast
insane.
Is inverted and it's
yeah.
like not connected to
yes.
you
no.
almost.
Yes.
No.
And
that's
you
exactly
go,
it.
Where am I? What's happening?
And I knew, I was like, this is the regret for this table with these with our titties.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I could talk about breasts here. So this past week I had an ingrown hair. Even though I trimmed
yes.
it, I did the right thing. I did not tweeze anything, whatever.
No,
I trimmed
happens.
It and I had an ingrown hair and it was like I could see it and it was thick and it was long and I was like, I'm gonna
it was
sorry.
Long?
It was like grown in long and I was
yeah,
like
yeah.
cause I didn't want to touch it because
did you see it underneath
under
the skin?
True.
I will show you. I'm not gonna have let me get to the story.
You'll show me?
Oh, I'll show you. Yeah, I'm sure.
Wait, so it's still in there?
Okay. Sorry.
Wait,
all right.
Yeah,
so this is what happened. So I was like, okay, because I'm going to the dermatologist this week.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, maybe the dermatologist will
Get it out.
But I couldn't take it anymore, you
no,
know,
because no.
we have
no,
to pick everything.
I don't like
yes,
it.
Yes, that's what I have to do.
So, and I obviously didn't feel sexy knowing there was like a fucking big ass
nah,
hair in
nah.
my tit. Like,
going
you know,
across it. I can't handle
you know,
that.
I might be fucking the same dude, but I would like to sometimes
still,
feel like
pretty.
A sexy person. So I, of course, went to town and
yes.
I was like, I can get this out because I've had this
like,
so many happen so many
dig
times
in.
That I was like, I can get this hair out.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to be a problem.
This is my
but
everyday. Yes,
it was a problem. It was a massive problem. And I could not get it out. And then I looked online and livestrong.com, thank you, was like, use tweezers, like disinfect tweezers, which I
yeah,
did,
yeah.
which I already started doing, to be honest. But then
yeah.
I like got the affirmation.
Right,
from
right.
Use tweezers and just try to like twist and get it out. What did I do? It was so deep, deep, deep underneath that I just ripped my skin, kept ripping my skin, bled to a point of bleeding. Sitting on my, and I also will give you a visual, sitting on my toilet naked because I just came out of the shower, spread eagle with a towel below.
Yes.
Holding my tit towards the light.
So you have to hold the tit.
Okay. Holding my fucking double D tit
with blood, like dripping down.
No, like it was like squeezing out.
Squeezing.
And I knew in my head, first of all, I knew if my mother, thank God she listens to the podcast, would literally murder me knowing I was doing this. And also, I remember when I went to camp, one girl's had an ingrown hair on her leg and it got infected. So in my head, I was like, she had to go home. She literally had to go home.
No.
It can get infected.
It can get infected. And she had to go home. And
why?
I was like, she had to, they
I'm
couldn't,
literally
going to
have a panic attack.
They couldn't
later.
Treat it. She, I don't know what happened. I know exactly the girl. I could ask her, but I don't know what happened. So I remember her, I literally have an image of her limping and having to go home.
Limping?
Because she had such an infection in her leg.
The infection.
So I was like, Tracy, you're going to get an infection in your tit. You're going to get an infection in your tit. But I could not stop. But then eventually I was not getting it and it started to hurt. And I was like, I'm going to the dermatologist. Just leave the fuck alone.
Yeah.
So what do I have to do? I had to put bacitracin. I had to put alcohol, bacitracin, and I've been wearing a Band-Aid on my tit for 5 days. It was pussy.
No.
It was. I was like, it's infected. My tit's
infected.
And this is insane. Like everyone who ever wanted to jerk off to me, goodbye to you. But. But this is me and this is my life and I have literally no boundaries.
Stop it.
So I literally still have abandoned on my tit.
My gosh, is it getting any better?
Yes, it's getting better, but it's still like a little, like you know when a scab heals, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just want to see it.
I will show it to you after, and Alex will have to leave the room, but I'll show it to you after.
Yeah.
And I was like mortified, and I walked out, and my boyfriend was like, what's happening to your breast, you know? And I was like, it's like, why is there abandoned on your tit?
Right.
And I was like, I just thought to myself of like, there's a Band-Aid on my nipple, like, because I couldn't control myself. Also, livestrong.com gave me the wrong information.
Well, can I say something? Anyone who goes into battle, you know, once you've pulled the cannon from the pharmacy,
whatever, the pharmacy. Once you went to the pharmacy and the doctor approved
the cannon,
you're
on the field.
Yes,
and sure, there aren't a lot of people on the other side to kill the troops. You're like, but I brought the cannon.
Yes,
right.
Like I don't want to bring it back and come back later when there's more.
What would I?
I'll just try to kill what I have.
Job done right now.
Exactly. Yes. So if I've already broken one layer of skin.
That's why. I'm like, go deeper, bitch.
Them all.
Yeah, yes. I'm like, go the time is now.
Go
the time is now.
But I was actually in like very
stop
localized
when you bleed.
Pain.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
Keep going.
But I knew
bleeding
I just
means
I
you're
could,
onto something.
The thing is, I was like in there literally for a half hour. I'm not kidding. And
no,
I literally
no
couldn't. I did not even get a little of the hair.
I don't understand how. But how did you see it then?
There's
there
so is because I get it. Here's the thing. So
I
wax.
I wish I could show it to you right. Sorry.
I love this.
Yeah, but I get it.
I wax full leg everything.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
And so I get ingrown hairs a lot.
Yes.
And oftentimes you'll see the hair right below. It's like one or two layers of the skin,
yes,
and you'll see the hair just like hanging out right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it dry. It's like it's taunting me.
It is.
That's because we've spoken on this podcast before. Like we both have picking things.
Yeah.
It is taunting me.
Yeah.
I can't leave it alone. And also just because it's my boob, I'm already ashamed of like.
Right.
I already have this body hair shame of my fucking tit.
Right.
I have such
right
thick fucking black hair everywhere. Yeah. This is who I am. And it's just like, I'm already ashamed. I wish, and I want my big old bitties to be sexy.
To
and
be
like,
all sexy and hairless.
It's not sexy when you're fucking trimming it because you can't even tweeze it because your dermatologist told you not to.
It's truly like, get it. Like, at one point I had a tick. Like on my upper inner thigh.
A real tick.
A real, an
actual tick. Like
not
an
actual
tick.
A tick.
Like
a
bug
insect
that I was like, oh no. And you have to burn it with a match. But it's like, I can't get my head under my leg enough to make sure I'm not going to burn my fucking leg and get this tick. So then you go, I'm going to be, you're just so vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with like a tit. It's something I can't see 100% or it takes a little bit to see. And then there's something there that I like, you just want to die.
There's
and I will harm myself to the point of, and I, you know, I have shot needle phobia.
Yes.
So, but this girl with the tweezers is like, but what is skin? Like,
exactly.
To lose. Like, I just.
It's like we become, because I've
monsters,
seen us all,
animals.
We become, we've spoken about this, the three of us.
Fixated.
We
and we have a really
fixated
good time with it.
You can watch it. I can. I know
it.
You can watch it.
I love it so much.
We brought up the pimple popper. I will vomit.
Are there
I
videos about getting rid of ingrown
I'm
hairs?
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, because then it becomes like a whole thing, right?
Okay.
It becomes infected or it becomes.
Oh, wait, it does
become.
Yes. Aww. Well, no, you could, I've popped ingrown hairs. Sorry, trigger warning to everyone who's looking to be disgusted 4 hours later.
Trigger warning.
But I will pop my ingrown hairs. My legs. Oh, yeah. I love it.
That's
love,
one of my love, favorite love, things love, to love, do.
Have you ever honestly, gotten like a pimple? Favorite things. I got a humongous pimple at one point under my, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, sure.
My breast. And I went, sweating. What is this? How do I do this?
Yeah.
From sweating. No, yeah.
Sweating and confinement.
And, yes. And then I like had this moment where I was popping this pimple. Oh, I had a really great time. But then I went, what if I push some of my boob out?
Yes.
I was just like, I don't know.
I don't know what it could be.
What if I push my boob out? Like of this little hole. I was just like, oh, be careful.
Yeah.
Like I just had a moment of panic.
It's globs and module.
That's
whatever.
All it is.
Like,
what
is it? It's ready to come out.
It's just like, blah, yeah. Blah. Yeah. So I was like, what if?
And there's nothing that desexualizes you more. You know what I mean? We're like, you're just ripping your tit open and you're popping. Like, is my tit popping. Coming out?
And then you're like, you want to suckle on me? Careful. And you light that too hard, it will bleed. It will bleed.
Just put your mouth around the band-aid.
Around it. Be gentle.
All right. As I'm going into my fucking kitchen, opening up the first aid kit, pulling out band-aids for my tit, please.
Oh,
anyway.
My gosh. May I recommend, as one who loves to pick, a small round band-aid.
I have those, but I was, can I say something? I didn't use that because I was nervous it would get stuck to the other hairs. So the bigger ones go on the skin.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, there's still other hairs because.
Oh, for sure.
Mama's a monster, you know?
No, but I have gone through, I'd love the small little circle band-aids because I will have an ingrown hair or something and I will pick and then you just. Cover it up for a little nighttime
and
sleep.
Always shout and out to shout out to Claire for being able to wax. I can never in a million years.
I love it. Because you know what I hate? Shaving.
Yes.
I
know.
Fucking hate it.
I mean, I
hate
it
so much.
Such a disdain for it. And there I don't 100% understand.
Well, she's also like, you got long legs, bitch.
I got long
legs.
That's
true.
It's a long
she's very
amount of time. It takes, I mean, I have to, listen, I got to plan.
Yeah.
And I don't like to plan.
No.
That's what, no, I do
there
love to plan.
You
know, I do love
but when
to
it
plan.
Comes to shaving.
But no, it's too much. I just don't like prickles.
Mm.
And that happens
instantly.
Within hours. So I'm like, what the hell did I just do? So
then, it feels like a waste.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Waxing, there's no prickles.
That's true.
It's nice.
But also, you know, grow your fucking body hair out if you
also,
want to.
Also, who cares?
And also, I try to practice that every, like, few months where I'll just, like, let my armpit hair
grow. Right.
And try to be okay with it.
Yeah, I can't get there.
For my own sanity, for no one else.
I get that.
Else.
Yeah. No idea.
She's seen the pictures. Have you seen it live, actually?
I've seen it live.
No shame. Grow that body hair.
No shame.
Or rip it open, like we
who
do.
Who cares?
Whatever you want.
It's so true.
So those are our aggressive.
That'll be if you follow us on Twitter. You might want to see the picture we're going to tweet
of my tit.
Exactly.
It'll get followers.
I did actually tweet about that because I was like, I just kept going. It's going to get affected, and my tit's going to have to be removed. Like that's what I.
Well, of course, that's a logical step.
And I was like,
it's either popping out from pushing too hard, or
you have to cut it off.
And I was like, healthcare's a right, not a good. Thanks. All right, so.
Well,
those
my
are regrets, right?
General, I will say I just have like a general everyday regret.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that can be used as this week's regret.
Oh.
If that makes sense.
You could do a week regret.
I'll just do a quick one.
Yes, go ahead.
Which I think you all will appreciate.
Yeah.
My regret is not leaving 15 minutes earlier.
every time.
Day?
Yes.
Sure.
Every day.
That's
the trains right now in
Astoria. But they're trash.
They're trash.
No, they're trash.
The MTA is in a state of emergency.
Yes.
It's in a state of crisis.
Yes.
And no one's... I am...
We pay. How much do we pay?
I'm going to tell you, $121 a month.
We've had this before.
It's Monopoly. It's just all right.
Yeah.
Think if there was one podcast to listen to, and it was this one, I'd love it. But
I love it. Thank you so much. But yeah, no. Because I'm similar to your mom. I was like, I always think I have more time than I do.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know, apparently it's like a thing Taurus... my sign, Taurus.
Taurus,
you know.
Yes.
But at the same time, the trains, even if you leave so much earlier, make you so much later.
I know. Well, here's the thing. I'd love to blame the MTA because how great would that be? I just don't leave.
Yes.
That's true. Well, that
let's
true.
Be honest.
Because there's something, I don't know if you have the same thing that I do, but there's something in my head that goes, I have time.
No, 100%.
I'm like, oh, I'm either fine.
I have to be either rushed or I have more than enough time.
Yes.
And that's the problem is like, even if I start getting ready extra early, I'm like, oh, I'm cool.
Yeah, I have time. Yeah.
I'll take my time. It's good. And then it's like, shit.
And then
rush. I can't live in a world of
comfort, like 10 comfort. Minutes early, 15 minutes early. Yeah,
exactly. It's either luxury or panic.
Yes, I love that.
You know what? And that's manic, really.
Yeah, it's manic. I think that's honestly.
Nothing wrong with it.
No, but just identifying
it
what
exciting.
It is.
Yeah. We're just calling it out. We're just labeling.
Yeah, we're just labeling. Good
regret of the week from the guest here.
Thank you.
We love that. And that
I thought I would just throw that one in.
Yeah, throw it in.
We love it.
But we want to really get to the meat of things.
Yes, we do.
Fun.
The here meat and potatoes. Are.
There's so many regrets in life.
Yes, that's right. I love a lot of our guests are always like, I don't know which one, too.
Which one? I know. I mean, there's so many regrets of fellas that I've been with. Places I end up going late at night. I'm like, what am I doing here? But I think, honestly, the one regret that keeps popping up is that I didn't record some of the time with my mom before she died.
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of general, but I wish I had recordings, either video or audio or something.
Yes.
Now, my mom died 17 years ago. So this was before having
a phone.
Right. It was like a flip phone, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, now, if it was more recent, which would be horrible, but you know, nonetheless, you would have just it stuff because of our daily lives. We're recording so much. And so it's so difficult because it's like I don't have an audio clip of my mom's voice. And I really wish that she was sick for about a year and a half before she died.
Mm-hmm.
And so the difficult thing is that I recall wanting to, I mean, obviously I moved back. I was living here. And when she got sick, I moved back to Tennessee. Obviously, don't regret that. I was very happy that I did that. And I was able to spend a lot of time with her, which was wonderful. But the problem was, is that she never really was comfortable with the fact that she was dying.
Yeah.
And so I think the idea of trying to record someone was very, it's like, hey, no, but you're dying. I want to record your voice. Like
that's
hard.
A hard conversation.
It's hard. But, and I feel like also asking, just hearing more stories. I wanted to hear more stories, but then again, that does seem because you have a limited time.
Yes.
Right.
And I didn't want to make her feel uncomfortable because it was very much like, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
We're going to find a cure.
Right.
Kind of behavior. But I should have just, because she would have enjoyed that as well.
Yes.
But I think it was just that initial.
It's fear.
Yeah. Fear. So I do regret not either, even if I didn't audio, but just write some of the stories down when they were fresh, you know, and like hear some, I don't know, ask more questions and just, as opposed to just spending time and talking about me.
Yeah.
which is what I always do. And just like watching TV or, you know, just like spending time, quality time. It's still great, but I wish I would have just dug in a little bit more.
I will say the nice thing, though, is sometimes with phones now, I feel like people aren't present.
No, that's true.
That's very true.
And you aren't in the moment because you're trying to capture it. So there is a beautiful thing about you were just there.
It's so true.
Yeah.
You guys had that moment and it's just yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as much as it, like, you know, now it's like, oh, I wish I could go back just to see it. It's like you were just so there.
Yeah.
That, and it won't be anyone else's but the two of you.
No,
yeah,
it's
that's
true.
Very true.
You know,
it's true.
A very positive way to.
Absolutely.
To look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also what's crazy is, I feel like this is something that people either ask old people to tell them stories.
Right.
Yeah. Because old people will do that and they know that that's sort of what's going on and, you know. But I do think until somebody is dying, you don't dig as deep, especially with your parents,
right?
Or like your grandparents.
Right.
Like, oh, with a friend, sure. With your parents, you're like, what did you do in 1972?
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I mean? Like,
right.
the stories you hear, you're like, what?
Especially when those parents are adults that you always were like, yeah, but your life started with me.
Yeah.
And like, then your most important thing was me. Like, I know about me, so I know about you. Like, when you finally grow up and you're like,
oh, they're real people with a lot.
Oh my God, like, yeah, you were real people, right. And you still are, like, and you have these lives and stories and moments that I don't know about because I wasn't there, or that it is still very crazy even
Absolutely.
To me. That,
well,
you know?
Yeah, well, I think it's even talking about how until they're sick or until they're dying, you don't do it. Because here I am saying that my regret is I didn't get more information from my mom and get stories, and I don't do that with my dad.
Right.
Right?
And you're like, I should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, well, now maybe you might, right?
I do ask more questions, I think. I do. I try to get him to talk more just about memories and things. Like, maybe he'll say, mention something, and I'm like, wait, where did, you know, and I try to dig in more. Mm-hmm. I don't write them down.
Right.
And I don't record anything, but, you know, I at least have, like, voicemails from him that I refuse to delete because I know that inevitably he won't always be around.
The voicemail thing is I didn't even think of it, to be honest, until I'll shout out to our first guest ever, Alyssa Lynn Paris, did a video on the scene where she listened and other people listened to their deceased friends and family. And I was like, oh my God. And then I looked and I realized, oh, I still have voicemails. So I should save them.
Absolutely.
But I think the other thing is, like, I watch Finding Your Roots, which is, you know.
Wait, is that the one on PBS?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet.
Yes,
obviously.
But I was watching it with, my mom always saves it for me, and I was watching it with, because Larry David and Bernie Sanders, that one, they're both very similar upbringings of the Jews, whatever. Da, da. So they were talking about, and what my mom says the same thing is, their parents didn't say much.
Right.
Like, so we lose, right? Like, I don't know, like, from your mother's generation as well, or your father's generation, like, if their parents, I don't know when they came, what happened, how they got here, whatever. But, like, there was trauma.
They're not chatting.
You know, they weren't chatting. Like, there was, I mean, at least from my culture,
my
experience, there was hard. Yeah. There was trauma. It wasn't like they were sitting here, you know, playing Xbox. Like, they were on boats. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
luckily, you know, they came about. But, like, I know my family left from persecution, so they weren't talking and murders, essentially, like murders and death.
They want to be, like, the Debbie at every party.
They weren't like, oh, where'd you, how's your childhood? Well, my, you know, cousin got shot in the street. Like, they weren't going to say that.
Right.
So my mother said very plainly, like, there was a disconnect.
Yeah.
And that's what why I brought up Larry David said the same thing. He didn't even know his mother's real age.
Oh, wow.
He had no clue. He didn't. His mother never told him anything.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I forget what it was, where I was filling out some form and I needed my parents' birth year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, unable to.
Yeah.
Like, do the math or remember. I was just like, I can't. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's just crazy because my mom's very into the trees and the swabs of the, the ancestry.com, whatever, the swabs in the mouth, you know.
Right.
And even before my grandmother was passing away, I didn't even think to, because she was a talkative person but tell stories, but she had it was a limited amount of information.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, now, I think as storytellers, which all, you know, you guys literally do a storytelling show.
Right.
I've been trying to say every day, write down something because I can't remember. Like, even when
if
you
thing.
Have
can't
children,
remember.
You can't remember. Yeah. So it's one of those things of, like, not only you don't know what to ask, they don't know what to remember
they
sometimes.
They don't know. Exactly.
You
if
know?
My dad says something that I haven't heard before, I do have a document on my phone that is dad facts.
I love that.
And I'll write it down real quick. Or even if he says something about mom or whatever. And my mom's brother is still alive. And mom shared quite, I feel like later in life, mom would share more. So, and thankfully, we have a blessed family in that they were here for many generations.
Right,
and, you know, weren't escaping persecution.
Yes.
My uncle, my mom's brother, actually was essentially raised by my mother. So, because she was 8 years older.
Yeah.
So, I want to get more stories out of him, but he also doesn't like to talk about it because there's a lot of pain there.
Yes,
right? So,
yes.
Similar in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try to, like, jot things down, but I don't write out full stories or I don't.
No, of course. It's just for you to, I think, especially now that we're mostly a lot of times on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how much time you spend on your phone.
I don't want to.
I have an app now called Moment. I download an app called Moment, and it just plays in your phone and tells you how much times you've looked at your phone during the day, and it is scary.
That is terrifying.
And how many pickups you had, how much time you spent on each app. Anyway, the reason
I bring this up,
how many times like, you literally picked up your phone, which this now cost me three. But it eventually will teach you how to not, right?
Yeah.
But my point of bringing that up is, like, we spend so much time on our phone now that I don't even know if we're connecting and listening.
Right. Yeah.
Like you said, you had that time, mm-hmm. that taking those moments to be like, it has to be a very conscious act.
Yeah. Right? I try. I obviously am not perfect.
No, of course.
But I do, because so close. I do try that when I'm with someone else. If I'm mm-hmm. in the company of someone else, I do not have my phone on.
Yes.
Like, I put it in my back pocket.
Yeah, you're very good.
I try to be very good about that. Or if it's something like phone time, just real quick, you know, like, let's all get on our phone if we need to respond to something or whatever. But if I'm with someone, I try not to look at it at all.
Especially at like a meal.
It's great. Oh, no, yeah. I'm not looking at it at a meal.
I can't. I don't
understand. And it makes the other person do it too. And when they do, it's like, why are we even doing this?
It makes you feel grosser. You know?
It's a wonderful thing.
I don't understand why you would choose to go out with somebody. Mm-mm. Like, literally go out of your house. I get if you're laying on the couch, but go out of your house and then stare
and
at
then
your
phone.
And then
not be there. Sometimes actually look up.
Do you know sometimes I, like, literally in a restaurant, I see one person on their phone and the other person, like, sipping a Coke? Like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah, you give them too much time to think.
Yes.
No, I don't like it. Well, and I've noticed sometimes if someone's on the phone.
Yeah.
My dad's on the phone too much now. But I think there's also that generation too that's like, this is fascinating.
Exactly. It's a different
thing. But nonetheless, he'll be on and I'm like, I'm not picking up my phone because I don't want to be two people sitting at this table looking at our phones. Yeah. Like, I'm not. I'm just going to sit here and stare at you until you realize this is uncomfortable.
Right.
And I'll make a comment too.
Right.
But nonetheless, I'm like, put it down. Right. If we are supposed to be sitting here talking, supposed to, whatever, if we have chosen to sit here in the same space, Let's talk.
Let's be. It's there's a discomfort.
Or just be.
Is it crazy that the only thing I want to do right now is
look at your phone?
Is when I go home with my family, make a bowl of questions.
Yeah.
That everyone has to go around and pick and tell stories, because I do think that sometimes you tell a story. Or stories are hard to think about unless someone's like,
something's triggered.
Right.
Yes.
And I love that stuff. See, who would nix it would be my brother.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, come on.
And I'd be like, Danny, go over there.
Yeah. And my sister might be like that too. But I feel like me and my parents would have a blast doing it. And it's, I like that. My dad, when we were kids, he used to, because he traveled sometimes. So when he'd come home, he'd tell us stories. And it was like, I remember being like, my dad's the funniest person in the world.
Right.
Like, we'd be crying.
Right.
And it would be like, how does he come up with these? Like, even though it's like about the trip
or getting home or something.
Weird
that two of you are comedians. Okay. Weird.
Funny.
Well, I think that's a good idea. Honestly.
Yes.
Why don't we, for the holidays or whenever you go home, why don't we try to do that?
Why don't we try to do that?
I think that'd be wonderful.
I think that, you know,
maybe we can help make a document.
I love that idea.
Because I want to ask good questions.
Yeah.
Like, even it's like, when's the time you remember laughing the hardest?
Yeah. I love that question.
Thank you.
Well, I don't want to say, but I will say that Pete Holmes does ask that in his. Sorry, I love you. But
I
will.
I don't think Pete Holmes would be like, copyright to your mom.
Copyright, no, but that's like how he ends his podcast, because he's like, when did you laugh? Because I love that question.
Yes.
And I always think about that myself.
The last time you laughed hard?
No, just one of the times you've laughed
the
hardest.
Well, then, who knew?
But
you know what?
Let's take it.
TM.
I also like the question of what's your favorite memory from childhood?
Yeah.
Because I think, sorry for this.
Or even about their parents.
Right. Yeah. Like something.
They'd love to talk about their parents.
Because I think a lot of times, you know, she's going to cry.
I know. I don't know what happened.
But I think a lot of times there's a lot of sadness wrapped up in some things.
Of course. Because there's typically loss is
involved.
Loss,
exactly. That's why all of my, you know, grandparents have passed away and one's very raw. And I think there's just a lot of loss. We're seeing all the emotions that have come out of, like, I should have done that, or I should have done this, or this should have been this way, this should have been that way. And then so to be able to go, like, well, what was the good part?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's okay to be sad.
Yeah. Yes.
It's so hard to get there and to agree to be sad.
Yes.
You know, especially when you're around other people and, you know, it's difficult. But it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay. I think that's nice to be able to talk about. Like, my father is remarried, but his wife actually lost her husband as well. He passed away. So the positive is that, like, in our household, we can talk about both of them, because it's like, no, it's okay. There's nothing.
They still exist.
They're wonderful. It was wonderful, beautiful relationships, but, you know, they have since passed. So I am thankful for that. But I know for some people, it is very difficult to talk about anything that's related to someone who has passed, for sure. Yeah.
I think it also feels like, if I always think of the article about the circle, like if you have a trauma, if you're sick or you have cancer, you don't complain about a smaller thing to the person in the middle of the circle. Does that make sense? So if you have, I scraped my knee. You want to go to somebody who has cancer and be what a fucking miserable day.
I
don't think I'm explaining the circle well. It's an article that came out of, like,
I'll look it up.
You wouldn't go to the widow and say something.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That seems less to the widow.
Well, I do think that's true, but I also think I would worry the widow would be like, please talk about things. Like,
I'm not explaining
That's
what I'm saying. I'm not explaining the circle right.
Totally.
That's why I said look it up.
We'll look it up. But I agree with you on that, because after I lost my mom, so many friends were like, because I would say, hey, what's going on? They're like, no, I'm not going to tell you about my stupid day. And I'm like, no, I need to know.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not explaining the circle correctly.
Okay, we'll look it up.
I will say that very clearly.
Alex, edit out the circle.
Edit out the circle.
Okay, because it didn't go.
I forgot.
Yeah.
But I think the way why I brought that up, which please look it up, I'm not explaining it right, is like sometimes I feel like, okay, well, I know this isn't true. I want to say this. Okay. But if it's my mom who lost her mother, it's like, I can say it because it's my grandmother, or like, I'm not explaining it. Like, do I bring this up if you're closer to if you lived a longer life with this person? Does that make sense? Like, it doesn't, even if I have the grief, if my grief is once removed from your grief, it's like, how do I want to make sure you're comfortable, and because I'm the type that be like, I'll talk about these dead people all the time.
You don't want to pressure someone that was closer to
I get nervous deceased. Sometimes. I'm like, oh, this is from your. This is from your mom, and I'm like, oh, maybe she doesn't want to talk about her mom right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so I think you can just have to ask. You have to ask, and if they don't want to, then they'll choose not to. You know?
Yeah. Yes. It's very true.
We can't. That's the problem. It's because we often assume.
Yes, we assume. I think with grief too, it's very touchy. So when people are in the middle of a very intense grief, it's like, I don't know. I don't want to. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do understand that. I think audio recording is a smart.
Yeah.
You know, but now you know. Now you have. I mean, not that you'd be like, Dad.
I know. Speak into my phone.
Yeah. But I do understand, because I think that hearing somebody's voice is such a trigger of memories.
Do you ask your dad to tell stories about your mom?
Definitely, I have done that, and I feel like he's generous with that. Like, he will certainly talk about mom and. But I also, I need to talk to my uncle more, because I love hearing the stories before Dad.
Yes.
You know, because they met later in life. So they met in their 30s.
Right.
And my mother was older than my father.
Yeah.
So, like, they got married when mom was 36.
Yeah. So there's a whole life.
Yeah. So, and she had quite the life before. Yeah. And thankfully, I know a good amount of it. But I feel like, my uncle is the one that has some really good
ones. Did she have a really good friend?
Yes, who's actually my namesake. But she kind of disappeared after mom died.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, you know.
It's hard. A lot of them were great immediately and then just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't do a great job of trying to keep up, because I just was dealing. Yes. You know, we all were.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I have for a number of years thought about how can I, like, maybe I should try to find Claire. But
yeah.
I bet she loved it,
I would think, but you also know. You never know.
Yeah.
You shouldn't
but
assume,
you also don't
but
assume.
Guys,
you just told me.
It comes back
it
on
comes
you.
Back, it comes back. It comes right back, and the tables have turned.
The tables have turned. Don't assume.
The tables
I know.
Have turned.
I know. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like,
because I think she might have, like,
The fun stories.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, they moved from Nashville up to New York together.
Yes,
she's
going to
have
good stories.
Again, once people have passed, we can really bring up the
stuff.
You
can bring
them
out.
You know what I mean? You can bring out the good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, we want to hear the good stuff. We want to hear the party.
Exactly.
Background.
Mother was such the hostess, though. Yes. You know, she had all the parties.
Oh, God. I'm not.
Not surprised.
Apple doesn't fall far.
Yes, I know. Exactly.
Not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Exactly. I mean, I am my mother's daughter.
Yeah.
For sure.
Is your voice similar to hers? I know that's a weird question, but I like me and my sister sound very like almost exactly alike, but like we got, I think there's,
that's a good question.
There's families have you know, similar ways of expressing themselves. Like they sound similar.
Yeah, truly, it's hard to know even what you sound like, though, right?
Because right. Yeah, it's I know me and my sister sound alike because when I call her, like people get our voices confused all the time.
I used to get so mad at my mom when that would happen. I'd be like, "Mom, can you blank?" And she'd be like, "Like she'd be like, who is it?" And I'd just be like, "Mom." Yeah. Like sometimes you could dissect from what I'm asking.
Yeah, of course.
Like my, she didn't want to do the work.
No. You know, and I'd always just be like, what? Because I don't think I sound like my sister, but then also someone being like, who is it?
But I love them. I think it's harder for you to decide if you sound like your sister because you can't hear. Because
we don't hear it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But I will say there are times when my sister says one thing and I'm like, it sounded like that came out of my mouth.
Well, I will say I hear inflections in my dad's voice similar to his mother.
Mm.
And and I hear it sometimes because I start to pick it up now. But I think the difference with my mother is that she definitely had a southern. She had a slower
twang.
Not a twang. A drawl.
I'm never. Sorry, is twang bad?
Twang is bad in the southern world.
What do you call
it? It's more of a genteel southern belle kind of speak. But I will
Belle, if you will.
A belle, if you will. But I will say that I look almost identical to my mother.
Wow.
So when I see old friends,
they're surprised.
Sometimes wigged out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like same hair color, same facial features. Yeah.
Wow.
I look like my mom, which is crazy.
Yeah. Why is that crazy?
And
I don't know. I see some of your dad.
No, that's true. Yeah. But I've seen, when I look back at older pictures of my mom, like, it's frightening.
Yeah.
And whenever I used to, like, she had a lot of parties or reunions at our house, and sometimes I'd, like, be going up to get milk, and people would be like, oh, my God.
It's so funny.
One time my sister got really upset because they kept doing that for me, and they didn't do
it for her. You're like, ha-ha.
She was the younger sister. Yeah. Give me something. I mean, there's a picture that was in my grandparents' house of my dad when he was, like, 8, and it's my face, but a boy.
Yeah.
And we got, it's like, it frightens people. Yeah, it's very weird.
It is frightening.
Very weird.
I know. It's whenever you post old pictures, it's so funny. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I love posting them because it is like, well, that's.
And just how much you grow up, like your parents. Right?
It is weird because, like, sometimes when I see families and I see, I'm like, oh, that kid is that parent's kid. Like, it's like frightening sometimes when it's like a little miniature version of.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like, this is just you, but miniature.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, it's
very weird.
Very weird. I also think that when it's pets, that's also.
I love when pets look like their owners. Yes, I really do.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so cute. When pets look like their, oh my God, I love it.
It's adorable.
I don't know if it sort of morphs over time that they like.
I know. We, growing up, we actually had, all of us 6 feet. Well, my mom was like 5'8", but that was very tall for her age. Because she had me when she was 45, whenever she was older. Nonetheless, we had a dachshund.
Is that the funniest thing you've ever heard?
Like, Eloise was her name. Oh, Eloise was sprinting to Dad's, like, casual stroll, walking around the block. It's so funny. But Eloise had the same hair color I did. So there we are.
That's so cute. God. She must have been like, I knew I was small. I didn't know I was this small.
She's like,
we gave her
a
complex.
Did you get her as a puppy?
Yes, we did.
Was she so little? I don't think I've ever seen a puppy dachshund.
Adorable.
Are they just like dip? Boop.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yes,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like,
they're just that's
little.
Exactly what they look like.
It's like something's adorable. Happening in the middle here.
Yes. This is an extension. So adorable. And actually, she was the runt. We got her sister first. Went home and we were like,
no,
the runt. So we went back the next day, got her as well.
You had two?
We had two, but then the first one that we got was just too aggressive. And we said, tisk, tisk. Yeah. Like, we would be like petting Eloise, having fun with Eloise, and Abigail was the other one. Abigail would come over and like jump on top of Eloise and like demand attention. We said, bye-bye. You are leaving. So we found a lovely home to give the aggressive one away.
That's nice.
Good. I'm glad you gave a home.
I will say when people...
Oh, yes. We found a lovely family.
So maybe she was just a dog that was like, I'll be the only one.
Yeah, exactly. She asked me the only one.
And Eloise needed...
comfort and care. I think it's also funny when you hear like, this is one thing I hear from my parents and her friends. They're like, we had, you know, that dog that you gave away. And
right.
I'm like, what? Like... I don't think my parents, but the friend, family friend gave away a dog. It was like this big conversation. And I feel like that's like a secret shame.
What?
That they gave away a dog?
Yeah, like a secret shame. Like stories are like, we gave away a dog.
Like, yeah.
People are not forthcoming with how, if they've had to give back a dog.
I think it's whether if you take it back to like
the store,
or humane association. No, right. But if you find another home, and I think that was a whole family discussion that we had.
I'm sure
we felt so bad for Eloise, and so there was a discussion. It was like, okay, let's find another loving home.
That's amazing.
And then,
because when you go into those shelters, now we're going into a different.
When
you go into the shelter, I was in the shelter.
No, we can't.
Recently, because my sister-in-law got a dog. We went to the shelter. It was after the hurricanes, and they were clearing out the shelters to bring the dogs that were displaced, which was very lovely in Virginia.
Yeah.
But to see these dogs in the shelters, and to be like, well, some of them, you would read their thing, it was like, brought back.
Yeah.
And like,
did I tell you that's what my dad, like, does?
Yes. I know, but the listeners don't.
He'll go, and he'll, like, sponsor a dog. Like, it'll be like...
They do. They pay for their all their care.
Surgeries or, like...
God, that's so sweet.
And my dad, for his birthday...
Here
we go. Because it really makes me so sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was having so much fun. But I was like, this is so... How do you go to an orphanage and leave?
I know.
That's a thing.
I couldn't do it. It was very... I was like... Had the volunteers here, I don't know.
I don't see how they do it.
They're looking at you. And it's... I have to be honest, like... They're shitting in these cages. It smells
so
terrible.
Bad. They're conditions. You know it is.
It's horrible. And that's why, like, I will say, though, it was very lovely to see the Clear the Shelters weekends, because people were coming on in.
And
really adopting. Boom, boom. You know what I mean? They were ready. Yeah. They were ready.
I remember the day we adopted one of my dogs. Her partner got adopted, and the dog was... I had one eye, and he went to a blind guy. And
stop it.
Oh, my God.
Stop it. Oh, and I was like, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, my God.
Every heart has just melted. Yes. That's unbelievable. Is absurd.
I know. Because I think I was a kid. Yeah. And by I think I was a kid, I was
but
a kid.
But you could see
the
analogy there.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
But I think when you're a kid, as an adult now, I'm like, oh, my God, maybe you should always get the dog with one eye.
Yes.
Like, you know, but I think as a kid, I was like, no.
I want the puppy. I want the pretty puppy.
I know.
There was one dog in this shelter. I will say, if I can give a shout out to this one dog.
Shout out.
I hope that she was adopted. She wasn't taken care of correctly.
Yeah.
And they gave her only wet food, which made her lose her teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
So we saw her, and she just had a whole tongue. Her whole tongue out at all points. Mm. And it was the cutest. She was really the cutest.
Well, she could be
dog.
Instagram famous.
Yes.
At this point.
I mean, I know she could be. She really could
it's
be.
It's an investment in you.
It was unbelievable. My sister-in-law has a 6-year-old son, so had to adopt
a
dog that was good with a, you know.
Oh, sure.
Needed
but
a level.
You know, it does make you feel like you can't hurt your
exactly.
No teeth.
But there was no teeth. Matt also wanted to get a dog there that was this male 45-pound pitbull, and I had to pull our dog just passed before this, and I had to pull him away and be like, we're not ready for her.
Yeah,
but he was like, maybe we should get this dog type of thing.
Yeah,
like why wouldn't we? And I was like, because we're not ready for a pit, like a 45-pound
pit. I do love pits.
I mean, no, but I'm saying in an apartment building, I'm bringing him with a tiny.
I don't know.
From Virginia, I have no idea.
I can't have a dog because I don't have a lifestyle for a dog. But
yeah,
I love them. And if I had either a partner to help share the responsibility or enough money to have a dog walker.
I do think with a dog, a partner is in New York when you're a comedian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is key.
Absolutely.
You don't see your partner. Goodbye to them.
Bye-bye. But wonderful that we share a responsibility.
But wonderful.
I love it.
But yeah, I give props to people who volunteer.
And yeah.
I really give props to people that do anything that works with anything sad.
I know.
Like
I
nurses. Like lawyers who have to, my best friend's a lawyer who has to like fight for other people to be able to keep their independence or have to take it away.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, and I'm here talking about my tit. Like what, we have
people
different jobs.
Who are also able to like leave work at work. Like I always was like, even when I nannied, I'd be like, he's having trouble in math.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm not at dinner. It's like, I'm thinking about math.
You're like on a date and you're like, Jeffrey is,
you know, like I just take all of it home. That if I worked in a shelter, I would be.
You need to work in comedy. I mean, people, hospice care workers. I mean, shout out.
Oh, my God.
Any nurse. My friend works as a baby nurse, is that what you call it?
Yeah, prenatal. Yeah.
Very. And I can't imagine.
I can't imagine.
I truly, really can't.
Yeah.
But just any of anything in there.
No.
You know what I mean? I can't.
Seeing a baby.
And then the parents and just all of it.
No.
It's like, no.
No.
Mm-mm. And she's like such a happy person. I mean, I think it's great for her. I just don't understand.
Yes.
I know.
I do think there is a thing, and this is not to say in a negative way, mm-hmm. but there is, from being in hospitals and hospices and having to go back for a few, weeks, yeah. To see that there is a way of that they're able to like live their. I saw nurses, like they were able to be like,
compartmentalize.
Yeah. Like when I was leaving and I was like, we have to, after a family member passed, I was like, we have to go. It was very nonchalant.
Yeah.
And I was like, but there's, right. I almost was sort of, it wasn't like cold. It just was like, and now
business.
We're back to protocol.
It's business. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Meaning like they turn, first of all, in hospices, they turn your,
it's sort of
crazy, but like, okay, we have a bed. Like, and then you think, okay, great, we have a bed, but no,
that means someone died.
Yeah. Like, so there's all this weird way of like, they have, I forgot what it's called. The post-life care worker, the death care workers, essentially. I forget what they're called. I can't remember the name. But it's with a P, I think. But they come in and they talk to you, and they're very nice.
Yeah,
but when things are going, it's like boom, boom, boom. And just to know that these people deal with this every day.
Yeah. Well, and
like,
I
it's
think
it's
desensitized
your
a little bit, too.
That's what it
but
is.
But you learn how to compartmentalize, or you would
or you can't
become
work
a disaster.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
You literally can't work there.
You have
there.
To have self-care in that respect. And that's
palliative.
Why,
sorry, it's palliative.
Palliative. There
that's
we go.
Wow.
But that's why
dying,
that's none of us work there.
Yeah. No,
that's why.
I couldn't do it.
No.
Because I'm like, oh, this is such a big moment in this person's life, and you have to be on all the time.
Yeah.
Like if you
it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Like, shout out to all those people who do it.
Shout out.
Truly shout
truly
out.
Truly shout out.
To the dog with no teeth
to
and to all the people that help us.
Oh, my God.
Day to day.
Insta-famous.
Insta-famous. I tell you, that's some money.
I can't remember. So, that was the one I wanted. And I wanted I was like, I would take home the no teeth.
No.
But I'm like, I know.
I know.
No teeth. That's
the no
really
teeth.
Fun.
They're always hanging out.
That's adorable.
I know. But also take care of your dogs. And
also
feed them the
take
right
care.
Food so that their teeth grow in.
And spay and neuter.
Yeah, because that's it.
I'm Bob Barker right now.
Spay and neuter.
Does he talk
spay
about
and
that?
Neuter. Yeah, he did.
That's his thing.
Really? Mm-hmm. He talked about that?
Well, at the end of every Price is Right.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
What?
That was like his
sign
advocacy.
I'm sorry.
His sign off on the...
No, it was like an advocacy thing. It wasn't like, and, well, thank you, Roger Price is Right. Spay and neuter your dog?
Essentially, that was
really?
His sign off.
I don't remember that at all.
Do you remember that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
does anyone know what I'm talking about?
No, I used to watch that as a child.
Was it?
Price is Right.
It's Price is Right.
No,
oh, sorry.
I know Price is Right. I'm not insane. That was like my favorite show.
But I don't remember him signing off with the neuter.
Whoever that audience is the audience I need. They were always like, yes!
It was like they would wear shirts. They have. I always thought their
names,
name tags were so
large. Oh, they're so
bad. They're huge name tags.
And when they
tags.
Like,
it's like, oh my God. And then it's like, do you want this dish? And they're like, oh,
like they're freaking out.
I had a group of friends in college. We went down there. We were going to do it because we had our sweatshirts with the college.
No, you didn't.
College sweatshirts.
You got to have the college sweatshirt.
Yes.
They love that. And we were all from Montana.
Yeah.
So we were like, hello, we're this is
here.
Great. And then
you
we decided not to go because it was so damn early in the morning. We were
what
like,
what time is it at?
Well, we had to get up so early to like get there and get in line
and you were
and
in
all
college
of that.
And you were like,
college?
No.
You know we were out late the night before.
Yeah.
It's like one of you could have won $20,000, but not worth it.
Or a whole living room set.
Or a whole living room
set. I always loved that because I was like, this might not match my walls.
It's
like a car,
or like, what
yeah.
if the person doesn't, the boat, too. It's
right.
like,
boat.
A boat?
I'm
that's
landlocked.
The worst.
Who wants a boat?
I'm completely landlocked. This
I know.
Is
I used to love, I used to be livid when they didn't know how to play the game well. Like, what would it be like? 4, 6, and it's like either go low or high.
Right.
And someone would be like 5, and you're like, what?
No.
Like, just, I would be
people.
Livid.
Idiots.
Yeah, I'd be like, why was he on?
Take his name tag right away.
I hate him, Rick. I hate him.
Rick.
It's like detergent. He's like, 25?
Oh my God, yeah.
You're like, have you ever gone shopping?
Never.
Rick?
Never.
Oh. No. He's like, I don't shop. My wife shop. You know that, all that. But I think there's probably a YouTube compilation of people getting called down from the Price is Right.
I'm sure.
I have to look
that
up.
Sure.
Gotta be.
Because people just like losing it. That was before, because Price is Right too, if you think, when I think of losing it on a show,
doesn't Drew Carey host it?
Yeah, but it's like not the same.
No, of course not.
Yeah, but no, of course not. How dare you? But I think of people losing it the most, I think of Oprah's Favorite Things.
Of course.
If you want an image of people losing it.
Yes.
But they rightfully should.
Rightfully?
I just won the lottery! Yeah.
Rightfully should.
They should. Didn't they all get a car one time?
Yes.
Yeah, they all got the things famously, that these yes. people
If that
got,
happened to me, I'd pass out.
Yes.
I'd be like, thank God. I'd cry.
Also,
actually,
look, SNL did a parody.
SNL, yeah.
With Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
They did it. Though.
I think Maya Rudolph
They like, their
Oprah.
Heads blew off. Oh. Like, it was really great. Funny. But that's what I think of. And those are the two things I think of is like people in complete joy mm-hmm. is Oprah's favorite things and being called down for the president.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Complete joy.
I don't know if I could conjure such excitement.
Yeah.
For Oprah's favorite things?
I don't know if I could because it's become such a parody.
No, I yeah. think before.
I think it would be.
I'm thinking original. I'm thinking like first
original,
3 years.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking, this is what I'm truly thinking. I can't believe I got in the room. I know what they want. As a performer, I must give it to yeah. them.
Well, that's true.
I would be like,
that's
this is
true.
A performance because like they, I know they need it.
No, of course. Mm-hmm. I should clarify.
At least jumping
I literally,
and screaming.
I just thought of this because mm-hmm. I saw a posting of Oprah doing things. So I just thought of this.
I just looked through that
yes.
as well.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So that's why I just, but I was thinking of what if you were the first audience?
Like it wasn't but they actually probably didn't freak out because they're like, what does that even mean? Yeah. You're just going to tell us things you like?
No, but then after every
the
single
first
one.
The first audience for favorite things.
For favorite things. After every single one, they were like, you get this now. And you get right. Imagine like the buildup. It's
the
like an build orgasm. Up,
no, that would have been overwhelming.
Know? Overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
Oh my,
overwhelming.
My God.
But yeah. like, you know, the last year they knew, you know.
And yeah, you're like, I'm going to get something.
Mm-hmm.
I better get
something. I better get something. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I bet you have to know somebody, though.
You, I think it was probably
shows?
By the end, it was a special
by the
audience.
End.
I think it was all teachers.
Oh, teachers, I remember, yeah.
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 They would get special people.
But Ellen still does.
Ellen
give
gives away a lot.
Yeah,
Ellen
she does.
Doesn't stop.
I love Ellen.
I love Ellen.
She's
she was my favorite. We've talked about this before, but my favorite stand up special when I was a kid. I remember because yeah. she didn't
yes.
curse and she wasn't mean.
She was
exactly.
so great.
I need
I
to go back
do.
And watch
Nancy,
them.
Nancy, that's not Nancy. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I love her special.
She's amazing. I wouldn't be surprised.
I have one.
Like on
like I own it.
Yeah.
On VHS?
DVD.
Even better.
Yeah. It was like called like something the moon or something.
I can't
She's
remember.
Had two. She had Now and Then.
Now
I
and
think.
Then.
Yeah.
And then one that was like Procrastination.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Well, she has another one coming out.
Shout out to Ellen.
I know I'm gonna
soon.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Sit.
Yeah, on Netflix, right?
I think I posted on your wall, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. On Netflix?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's filmed yet, but the deal is signed.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. I love her.
So it'll probably be coming out next year.
I love her.
I know.
I love her
so much. She's amazing.
Well, thank you.
Thank
you so much. Thank you.
Wow.
Time flew.
Flew.
Wow.
Flew.
Time flies when you're having fun.
There
you
it
know?
Is.
Talking about. Tits and
tits
and
death.
And a little bit of
thank
death.
You to Claire Byrne.
Yes.
Thank you, lovely
please
ladies.
Please check out everything we said. Boogie Manja. No Such Thing. I can plug No Such Thing
yes.
as Love because I'm not a host of it. Please
thank
check that
you.
Out.
The first Thursday of every month.
And look out for Claire on the travel team.
Yep.
I can't wait.
Go
thank
out
you, ladies.
There and live your life with regrets.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.